Shout out to our sponsor, Water Pocket Distillery. Ran by botanical genius and wizard Alan Scott, Water Pocket is one of Utah's most unique and underrated distilleries in the scene. With their unique products like their gin and their Amaro line, Water Pocket spirits are meant to take you on a journey. And they do just that. They open your palate and expand your mind past the typical products you'll see at all liquor stores. As their motto goes, open your heart, embrace the wild. And you'll understand this after trying their products after the first time. Head to Water Pocket Distillery to show some love and support. Until the next spirits, my friends. Shout out to our sponsors, Kings Peak Coffee Roasters. Located on 412 South, 7th West in Salt Lake, Kings Peak has a wonderful coffee shop and roastery with great atmosphere, delicious coffee, friendly baristas, and plenty of parking. Offering to help anyone willing to learn coffee, Kings Peak is the place to go. Kings Peak is ethically and sustainably sourced, believing that everyone in the coffee supply chain should be properly supported through fair compensation and powered by real human-to-human relationships. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 2, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 2, you will feel loved the moment you walk through their doors. For any questions or inquiries, or wholesale, visit them at kingspeakcoffee.com or just head on over. Good chance you'll see us there. Until the next coffee, my friends. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family, we are here in the heart of Westside Tavern. You can hear it's popping right now, and we are here for Family Home Weekend. I love it. It is the best. And I have some big ass cats right here. I got Libby Taylor, the Libby Taylor. Libby, welcome.
Hi.
And then I have Mikey Rydell. Mikey, how you doing?
I'm honored to be here. Thanks, pal.
You got it, my friend. So, Libby, I just want to talk about this event.
Yeah.
This is something you've had planned for a couple months now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, give me... This is your baby. So, give me what happened and why we're having this event. Why is this a thing?
Absolutely. I think the last time I was on was Fresh Hop Fest. And I knew it was something I wanted to do quarterly. And so, I pitched Family Home Evening to you. And I think we both just were really pumped about it. So I just started kind of putting the pieces together. I knew this time around I kind of wanted to focus on bigger beers while it was still cool. It's getting a little warmer, but instead of doing the fresh hop, kind of going the other way and getting, you know, I've got a couple barrel-aged beers that we're focusing on and some other big hitters from around the city. And then, of course, I can't pass up Miss Diaz at Sweet Vinyl helping me build the perfect pastry pairing. So it's just like a luscious, indulgent weekend with
it
our
is.
Friends and family.
Yeah, and it's really cool that you are making a scene for families to come and enjoy. And it's since we walked in here, it's been, you know, people coming in and out, and it's been busy. Mike and I have been watching you run around left and right over and over and over, right?
So yeah, absolutely.
With your head cut off, it seems like.
I woke up this morning and was setting up with Giles. He was my opening bartender, and I was like, today's going to be so fun. All my friends are going to come in. This is going to be the best. And then it happened, and I'm having a blast. You know, I am a server at heart, so getting making sure you guys are well taken care of and having a great time is not only what they pay me to do, but what I really love to do.
And it's beautiful, Libby. We're Mikey gave a compliment to you. He called you a Jedi Master.
Oh, yeah.
And I concur.
She is able to weave many things together and make them come together in a very cohesive and very calm just environment.
Yeah.
So I love you so much. I appreciate what you do.
That's, you know, if you're going out to eat today when you're listening to this, definitely thank your server extra. That's something we all really strive to do, is to not let the chaos be seen. I can sit around and pretend like I'm having an easy breezy day. But
yeah.
It took some work, and there's always stuff in the background that we're not always aware of. But as long as you guys are having fun, that's what family is for, right?
Exactly. And kind of like if you build it, they will come. Kind of thing, and you've done it, and you keep doing it, and I really like that you're kind of always pushing collaborative home evening, you know, family weekends. I like this because you have there's not a single on the pairing, there's not a single Squatters or Wasatch beer.
No, there isn't. I was originally going to bring out, I have a sneaky case of our holiday ale hidden away somewhere, and I thought I might bring it out, but...
That is a brilliant porter, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Holy yeah, Nils always really steers me in the right direction with those beers. But I knew that, you know, we are such a big name and such a big player. Not that the people on that list aren't now or and will continue to be, but I knew I wanted to kind of highlight my friends and my family. And we aren't, you know, that's not... Wasatch Squatters has done some really amazing barrel-aged beers. We don't have a barrel program right now, so why not take... the stellar ones being made and serve them all together at once, just like with the Fresh Hop Fest, right? You get it all in one place. It's really neat to see them side by side. To see all of those names on one list makes me really happy.
This is really cool. And what made you choose these four breweries? So right now we have Hogshead Reserve from Shades. That's their barrel aged Imperial Stout. And then we have a White Salamander from Level Crossing. Then we have the anniversary. I think it's the barrel aged anniversary ale from ESB from Bewilder. Then we have the Strap Tank Saison. So what made you choose those four breweries?
You know, those all of you guys are just close friends of mine. I know the first thing that came to mind when I was thinking big, luscious beer was Shades. So I knew that one was right on the list from day one. And then just as kind of people were releasing things, I was hanging out with Max and Robin from Level Crossing talking about it. And I said, you know, I don't want it all to be like dark chocolate and coffee and cocoa. I was like, I'd love to do like a double IPA with like an orange sort of flavor, kind of something that's still a big beer, but a totally different style, right? And they were like, oh, you got to get the White Salamander on there. So that was just a happy brewer's lunch where we just came to that conclusion.
I love that.
Together.
And that's brains coming together and coming to one.
Yeah. And then I saw that barrel-aged DSB come out from Bewildered, and maybe I was just being... sneaky and trying to get my company to buy a case of it for me. No, it is so good, but when I saw that one, it was just perfect timing. I think the Hogshead and the ESB came out around the same time, were released around the same time, and that one just really caught my eye as some, you know, ESB, we all know that as people in the industry, that's the hardest style to find, and it's so fucking good that a barrel-aged one just really got me excited. And then Strap Tank, I don't get enough Strap Tank because you're so far away, Strap Tank. And I even had to be rescued with you know, getting some of my product here. It's hard to get out there, and I really want to go out there more and visit, but life gets busy. And so I love the thought of having Strap Tank beers in South Salt Lake.
That's right, cool.
Present
thank you.
And forward.
And thanks for making that kind of known. You know, I feel like there's some locations in Salt Lake that has Strap Tank beer, but sometimes... get forgotten, right? But we're making good things down there, I think.
Yeah.
And Julia's kicking it. I think Julia dominates. And then having Derek at the helm is really cool.
Yeah, and shameless plug, I have no intention of not having one of Julie's sours on my taps for in perpetuity. So if anybody is ever looking for a stellar sour and you also don't have time to make it out to Springville or Lehigh, swing by the tap room and try one. They're always so good.
Yeah, right now she has the Cosmic Fog out, the glitter beer.
Yeah.
And I think it's prickly pear forward this time.
Awesome.
So she's just a sour queen. She really is.
Explain how that all came about, how the Cosmic Fog became born, because in my knowledge, there was never a disco beer like that that had ever come across. I'd never had edible glitter in my life until that beer.
Yeah,
and it took the market by storm.
Yeah. I'm gonna kind of do a talk for Julia, but her story. I mean, it's her story. I don't know the details, but at the time she was talking to Mikey D back in the day about doing a glitter beer. And, you know, it was like, no, that's insane. No one's doing that. No, you can't do that. Like, that's real. And then when Mikey D left, then we had Sean Smith come, pitch the idea. And at the very beginning, he's like, no. Why would someone put glitter in a beer, right? That makes no sense. And then once he got around the idea, they tried it out. And one day, Sean Smith's like, let's do it. And Julia, you know, it was Julia's baby, and Sean Smith helped her make it. And then Julia's like, let's release this. And then... everyone's like, it's a seasonal. Everyone asks for it. It comes out usually around December, January time. And Julia just, it's the best. I call it unicorn water. That's what I call it. Unicorn water real quick. But it's the prettiest beer. And Jackie King once said, Because Jack King always wants to do start trends. Like, that's her, like, her goal in, as a brewer. She wants to do a trend. And she looked at Julie and she goes, you did it. You started a trend. Mm-hmm. Now look at everyone doing glitter beer.
Yeah, not only is it delicious, but it's an Instagram star. Yeah. Every pint of that beer I see has got a phone camera focused on it, and it is going pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
It is. It's got a life of its own.
Yeah, and that's Julia. That beer to me speaks Julia, because Julia is that. Everyone's, she's that shining star, you know. She is. Yeah, that's Julia's beer.
I love that.
I wanted to bring in one more thing about the set. So we talked to the Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop. We have Diaz's. This is kind of Diaz's last baking kind of ordeal, because the secret's out. Diaz is leaving. She's going to be moving to Colorado. She does have a job, and we're unfortunately not going to have her around here. But
you know what? Fuck Colorado.
Yeah.
Fuck Colorado.
Mike and I are kind of a little bitter about it.
I'm really bitter about it.
But she made awesome sweets with it. And Mike and I had the white chocolate. And Mikey, you were saying something about the white chocolate.
So it's a white chocolate infused with citrus peel, I believe, or some citrus. And as I had my first bit of it, it was very much just white chocolate. But as I kept picking at it and keep putting a little bit of chunks in it, the citrus really started to pop. And I'm like, that damn witch, how did she manage to get all that citrus? Because it's a piece of white chocolate. It's not unsweet. It's got a little bit of sweetness to it. But to coax that amount of citrus into those little wafers was blowing me away by the time I finished. So good. And
so why are we letting her go? I don't understand this. I didn't approve.
I think I have access to a dark basement. We can.
Maybe.
I'm speaking out loud again.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. My thoughts are getting out again. I'm sorry. Never mind about the dark basement.
I think this paired really well with the white salamander.
Yeah.
And what was the reasoning behind that, Libby? You were kind of talking about earlier.
Yeah, when, you know, originally I wanted to do that white salamander, just kind of a differing from those dark malty beers. And we were thinking like an orange tart, definitely something citrus forward, but, you know, a blend of that sweet and that bitterness like you would get from the hops. And we couldn't make a tart happen, but she texted me about the orange and coriander white chocolate, and I was so pumped. And when she dropped it off this morning, the smell in here when she came in, I'm sad nobody else got to experience it but me. But
oh, wow.
9:30 this morning, she came in, and it was like sticking your head in a whiskey barrel, and then it was being surrounded by orange and this like minty coriander sort of feeling. It was great.
I love it. And then we have other cupcakes and desserts here. So let's go with the Hogshead Reserve. So you had that one. That was like your first one you wanted to bring on. And she made a bourbon chocolate mini cupcake. Mm-hmm. So do you know the story behind this one?
So she actually came over a couple weeks ago, and we looked at the beer list together and kind of we had our tasting notes, and we compared, and we just kind of talked about, you know, what she likes to make, what would be great with the beers. We knew with those two, the Boar's Head Reserve and the Hogshead Reserve and the Barrel Aged DSB, we wanted to go super decadent with the mini cupcakes. So we did a dark chocolate and bourbon for the Shades Brew, and then a straight caramel on caramel on caramel for the ESB.
Oh, yeah.
And they're both just really wonderful.
They go really well. And then what was your, for the Saison? I was really curious to see what you guys were going to do for the Saison.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to kind of lean into something spicier, but she, you know, she's the crowd pleaser. She's the brains behind the operation, so I trusted her completely. And she obviously can whip up a cheesecake like it's nobody's business. So we did a nice lemon zest cheesecake with that to kind of accent those citrus flavors in the Saison.
Oh, man.
I thought it was a really interesting combo because of the phenolic nature of the yeast in the Saison and the cheesiness in the cheesecake. It was a really nice. It's two types of different funk.
Yeah.
Cheese funk and the yeast funk that got funky together.
I love that. I had
got funky
really cool.
together. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that from you, Mikey. Got funky together. But I think it's well done, Libby. And when's the next family home evening?
Oh, you always put the pressure on me, but this is good because now I have accountability.
Yeah. I'll keep you.
Let's stick with quarterly, right? I'll see you
like
in 90 days.
See, yeah, done. Easy. Yeah, I like doing this because I like to see where your head's going and bringing that community community into that fram. I was going to say fromunity, but that's not a word.
Gosh, let's add some more.
Last question for you, Libby, before I know you're busy. Taking over for the Pink Boots.
Yes.
And so doing this, how are you doing all the things at once?
So much help. I get so much help. I have an awesome leadership team with me in Pink Boots, which I think this will be the first time in a couple years that it's been a group this large.
Awesome.
So I have Lauren as our finance liaison. So she is still right by my side, kind of coaching me and helping me figure out the best way to do things. Amanda Madsen, who is an entire force,
is awesome.
My marketing chair. And Addison is handling our secretarial duties, which keeps all of us, you know, organized and on time and remembering what we talked about at the last meeting. So it's been really great. We've got, just another plug next week, well, after this airs. So March 8th. Or for International Women's Day, we're going to be brewing over at Level Crossing.
Hey, do we know what we're brewing?
Very dope beer. Yeah. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
No, throw it out there.
We landed on, I'm going to mess it up now. It's a honey.
Lemon grass?
No, honey, lemon. Yes, honey and lemon. And then there's a third one. We're doing a wit beer. Why am I spacing that last one? It was just so many fun adjuncts. We chose all of them.
A wit beer is, I think it's a brilliant base for so many different directions.
Yeah.
It sounds like you got a nice spicy herbal take on
that's
the whole thing.
It. Yeah, we're going to do ginger in it. So we got some ginger juice from Vibe Juicery. So we've sourced all these adjuncts as local as we can. So we're really excited about that.
Oh, cool.
And Hannah from Hans Kombucha has really helped us with those flavors, too. So it'll be super fun. Honey, lemon, ginger, wit beer. Name TBA.
I assume you've had a chance to check out this year's hop blend. Mm-hmm. What is it like this year? Because I know it's different every year.
Yeah, and this one's super simple. It's Laurel, Euconaut, and then an HB 586. So very spicy, very earthy, a lot less like fruit forward than the previous blends have been, which they've all really lended themselves to IPAs. So it's exciting this year to have something a little more spicy. To do for that wit beer, Squatters is going to do a black IPA. We're really going to try to like take advantage of that different style of hop blend that they put out this year.
This is really cool. Keep us in the loop for that, Libby.
Absolutely, I will.
And then congrats on the event. This is really
awesome.
Thank you.
I hope you guys have a great time.
And my friends, we'll take a quick break. Sound good?
Awesome.
Shout out to our newest sponsor, IMBAR Holistic Healing. As a family, we here at the Taste Master team want to advocate self-care and wellness. Life is a beautiful journey and can have many stresses along the way. IMBAR Healing is a wellness studio focused on integrated holistic health, wellness, and healing. They are here to offer modalities, tools, technologies, techniques, and support in all areas of healing that are unique to you, both individually in private one-on-one settings and collectively in group settings. Deep healing is a journey of education, empowerment, and owning one's responsibility for personal health. Healing techniques such as yoga, Reiki, sound bath, educational seminars, massage, breathwork, and so much more. IMBAR Holistic Healing is a one-stop shop for all things healing, health, and wellness, ranging from esoteric energy work to allopathic medicines. Check them all out on social media platforms or online at eambar.co for all updated events. I personally choose IMBAR for all my breathwork sessions. I tell you this, it's changed my life. Investing in yourself is priceless. Become your higher selves, my friends. Shout out to our sponsor, Solstice Malt. Solstice Malt is Utah's only craft malt house producing premium malt from local barley, oat, rye, and wheat. From farm to bag, Solstice Malt has a loving hand in each step of the way. Floor malted, flaked, raw, roasted, smoked, and everything in between, Solstice Malt does it all with pristine technique. Supplied and trusted by breweries, distillers, and all brew supply stores in Utah, we highly recommend using grain from Solstice Malt. For any inquiries or any questions, reach out to Solstice Malt on all platforms or shoot them an email at solsticemalt@gmail.com. Remember, without malt, there is no beer. Until next malt, my friends. Outlaw Distillery's Bourbon Barrel Aged Hot Sauce is back on the shelves. Also, Head on over to meet the newest distiller in our outlaw family, Connor Kelly. With experience from places like High West, Connor helps turn up Outlaw's premium game. Head on over to Outlaw Distillery located at 552nd West, 8360 South, Midvale, Utah for a tour and tasting. Their staff is well-trained and leads with full passion. With homegrown grain to glass, Outlaw Distillery carries some of our favorite weekday sippers, like vanilla bean rum, spiced rum, honey bourbon, and that delicious bourbon whiskey. Trust us when we say it should be outlawed. It's so good. Yeah. Until the next spirits, my friends. All right, family. So we decided we are going to break down the pairing and tastings. They're divine delicious, and we are kind of been snacking on them, but now we're going to do the pairing and blow people's minds.
High analysis.
Not high.
What?
Just analysis.
Oh, he fucked it up.
Oh, shit. I've had a little bit, so I'm kind of high.
In life. High on life.
Yes. On GOP. Yes,
so right now we're pouring the white salamander, and that one, Libby, we did the... Oh, the beautiful
white chocolate.
White chocolate,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even see the white salamander white chocolate. She's a clever little lady.
Isn't she? So that's why we're still kind of salty about it.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm really, really not happy. Really not happy, Diaz. So, this white salamander, it's a fruited IPA. It's...
Yeah.
Don't have a can in front of me, but it's...
Ale brewed with Caracara orange, passion fruit, and guava.
That's right. I knew there was lots of fruits in there.
It's a snappy IPA for sure. I'm actually quite fond of it. I love the more citrus-forward qualities, even though that's, the guava is not as citrus. It does have a snappy citrus twang to it.
It does, yeah. That look and body are a little deceptive. I think I was... obviously thinking it was going to be more of a New England-y sweet sort of thing. But yeah, you're right. That orange is like just barely ripe kind of flavor, a little bit bitter almost. I like that.
Yeah. I think it's going to go really well with this. So let's put some of the chocolate in your mouth and then wash it down with the beer. Let's see what happens. The white chocolate. Yes.
So yeah, just a little bit, just a little. This is, the chocolate is really sweet, and you think it's going to make the tartness in the beer even more pronounced, but for some reason, it kind of plays more off the malts, and God, I do love the citrus in this.
That's
white chocolate.
Yeah, well, David's over here dancing. He's loving it so much.
Because on the beer itself, I get almost like a grapefruit bite, kind of that puckerness, and this chocolate basically takes it away.
Right.
And I feel like I got more hops. Like it kind of but it balanced the beer out more for me. And so I like the fact that I can taste the beer better than just the beer itself. Because the beer itself, it's a hot beer. It's a big boy, you know?
I normally don't like things that are so sweet with my beer. But it really does accentuate what's going on with the guava in particular. The guava is strong enough to power through whatever the sweetness from the white chocolate is putting on my palate. It's really easy.
Yeah. I mean, going back to just the beer, yeah, I feel like I respect the beer more, right? You're tasting those different levels of the beer.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, Diaz and Libby.
And Dietrich.
Yes. Well, and the little crossing growers.
Yeah, whatever, Chris. Yeah, whatever, Dietrich.
Which one should we do next, then?
Should we do the Saison and then move on to the big boys?
Let's do the Saison.
Dark beers, okay.
Yeah, so the Saison was, it's a...
Oh, is that how it's pronounced? Oh, so you're the BGCP guy, so you know.
So, no, Saison. The Saison is a strap tank, 7%. It's in bottles. You can purchase them to go in Springville, Utah, FYI. So you guys ever want this, this is located at Springville, Utah.
When you guys put this together, I mean, what was your... Were you thinking traditional? Were you thinking kind of a neo-American approach? What were you guys doing?
Well, it was because we wanted an excuse to continue the yeast that we're using. We used the Bell Lallemand's Bell Saison yeast, and because we made an awesome New Zealand Saison. So basically, this New Zealand Saison put a beautiful that Belle yeast character is really, we loved it. Mm-hmm. We're so enthralled with it. So we kept it going, and we needed to do another Saison in bottles. And so it was perfect timing. Derek and I actually made this beer, and yeah.
So does this push more towards the traditional clove? That very phenolic style, and when you say New Zealand, are you talking hops? Are you talking?
Oh, so that was the yeast? That's not this beer. So the New Zealand one was just a fun one. We did a little test batch of it, and then we upscaled it. Had to keep the yeast. Decided to pitch it in this one, and this is what just a regular Saison. So kind of a neo American one. It's not farmhousey at all. Well, I wouldn't say it's farmhousey.
So what hops did you go with on this? Do you remember?
This one is Golding's out of Roy Farms.
Oh, nice. So very, very much an American, at least hopped. And the yeast is traditional?
Yes. Spoon me.
we got
some spoons. We got to
prep for the
cheesecake.
This
one's a lemon zest cheesecake. I'm excited. So, my friends, try the beer, the cheesecake, try them together.
So just like taking a huge whiff off the Saison, I mean, it does come across citrus forward in the aroma, at least.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. That yeast, I love that yeast. I was really happy with this yeast.
It's got a quality that is not. I mean, I think it's not to go back on what we were talking about earlier, but that twang that is almost, it's bready with just a little vague citrus.
Yeah, Val, you got some of those phenolics coming through when you taste it. I can't really get it on the nose, but once you taste it, it's right there. Have you guys paired this yet? Because it might blow our minds. I'm doing it. Why am I not eating? Let's go. So this lemon zest, this has a little cream on top, cheesecake, and then Diaz put some baked goodness at the bottom.
What drew you to this, Libby?
To the Saison?
To the Saison, yeah.
I actually gave the breweries full autonomy for Strap Tank on what they wanted to send down. I wasn't sure, you know, I'm not super familiar with their catalog and like what their bigger beers are and, you know, kind of what range they sit in. I thought was normally around 5%. So I reached out to Julie and Derek and I just said, hey, here's the information. I'd love to have you guys on the menu. Let me know. And I think it was just a timing. He wanted something super fresh and it's delicious. It's very well made. So, when they said Saison, I was like, oh, okay, we're going to have another lighter, fruitier beer. Let's do it.
And so the style is not really made a lot in Utah.
Yeah.
Saison, and not appreciated. I think Saisons, in my mind, are the brewer's beer, right? Some of those that, like, we saw a couple people have it today, and not knowing that I was the brewer, and they're saying, oh, yeah, this is not for me. I'm like, yeah, it's not for everyone. It's right. A different style. It's it's funny. But that pairing is fucking amazing.
That definitely brought out a lot, the richness of that cheesecake, and then you do that beer again. There were six other things exploding, you know, with that, like a sweet lemon and the bubble gums there and the spices there. That was great.
Oh, damn. Mikey, what do you think?
The two different kinds of funk is what really stands out. It's, I love cheese and I love hops. And there's a, you know, it's kind of a synchronicity happening that I think, whether it was 100% planned or not, I think is so good. I imagine you and Diaz had a lot of fun trying to figure out what would work best with this beer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a silver lining to this was, you know, really getting to delve into not just these beers, but those styles and learning about the flavors. That's what I love doing these pairings. It really gets you kind of, one, solidifying your knowledge about a style and then just kind of conceptualizing, taking your palate, your needs, your knowledge, your likes and dislikes, and bringing stuff in. And
I imagine you have to kind of take into consideration that even though it's a cheesecake, there is a kind of graham cracker crust that has to complement the malt as well. And you don't want one or the other changing. You don't want the graham cracker crust from the cheesecake to change the beer too much, where you're taking away from that, right? So it's probably the most complex of the pairings, I think. There's many, many facets that are intertwined in this. It's really fun to try and put it all together, but it seems to work. I mean, your tongue is doing all the work. I think your brain sometimes muddles it.
Right. Well, your interpretation of all of this has been really beautiful to witness. So
yeah, thanks, Mikey.
This is awesome.
This is why we hired you.
Thanks, boss.
No, but so I'll be honest with you guys. I'm too close to this beer that I don't, because I made it, right? Derek and I made this beer. That I know what I'd fix and I'd change, right? And I would, but watching you guys taste it and pair it, I'm just like, okay. Sometimes you guys step back a little bit and just enjoy it. It was a good beer.
Yeah.
Right? I made a good beer. We made a good beer. The team made a good beer. And that pairing helped me realize, damn, okay, sometimes I get too close to my own product, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy. I mean, when you're over, I mean, when you're making it, you're literally over it as it's all wafting up into you. You're getting all that DMS, and you're just, it becomes a part of you, especially brew days are not short.
Right.
And it takes over, and sometimes, yeah, you do get too close. And,
yeah. Because I was, you know, I'm happy with this beer. Was it something I would send to competition? No. So that's where it was kind of like, you know, damn. But after tasting it, pairing it, I now have appreciation to, like, have more compassion for myself as a brewer.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Your beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm proud of it, right?
Yeah. And you're your own worst critic, absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's why, yeah, this pairing is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Really.
I can't
really
stop eating.
Yeah, it's so easy for us to be the most critical of ourselves, like Mikey said, especially when it comes to, you know, somebody who's so knowledgeable about beer styles as you and judges yourself the harshest, right? But, yeah, I do think a lot of brewers and people in this industry, I love seeing you guys take a step back like that and just being like, cool, look at that,
aha.
Look what I did.
You're always learning. Yeah. Always learning and always humbling,
yeah.
Right?
Especially when you do a lot of beer analysis, and when you're given something that is probably something out of your comfort zone, they're like, this is made to go with this, and you're like, straight out of the box going, oh, okay, that's probably not what I went with, but right. Okay, let's go, and you're like, yes,
it's also,
thank you.
Like that's
what
the style that wasn't usually made. I mean, a lot of saisons aren't made here, so I don't really have saisons to compare it to. I mean, I compared it to Brian's Two Rows Saison. I think he makes a really good barrel-aged Saison.
I will say, Saisons are the worst thing for me to pair with.
Really?
Because of the phenolic nature of that yeast. That yeast is so unique, and it has so many complex properties. It's, I don't know. It's like, with like this particular Saison, I'm pushing sushi on that.
Fascinating.
It's just kind of a weird, the spiciness from the yeast, and there's a nice crackery doughiness in the malt. And I think about some of the more enjoyable sushi meals I've had. There's some really fun similarities between this, the fish, the ginger. That I often, you know, you always get pickled ginger with your sushi, and the rice.
Yeah.
You know. So I think it's really fun. It's like I said, I would never ever in a million years think to have a saison with sushi, but I would drink this with sushi any day.
Or this cheesecake, which is gone.
Yes, I know that it goes so fast.
So moving on to the next beer, we have the dub barreled aged. Double ESB from Bewilder. So this one's out of our former friends over there, the Bewilder. This one's a little older. Give that one a little sip or sip. And this one gets paired with what, Libby?
We did this one with the caramel cupcake. Reading up on this beer, it looks like they did three different barrels. The port whiskey from High West. I know the single malt from Sugar House. I'm trying to remember the last one.
I couldn't tell you the, yeah.
But they blended them as they saw fit, and they did a wonderful, stellar job.
Don't tell them this, but Bewell is a great place to drink beer.
Don't go telling anybody now.
So then this one's just a caramel on caramel. Yeah. So this is a white cupcake with a caramel drizzle with caramel sugar and, I'm assuming, caramel frosting? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after throwing this back real quick, it doesn't come across as a barrel-aged barley wine. It seems like it's slightly lighter than a barley wine. I would almost go American, like an American old ale. Mm. With, you know, and it's got a nice complex whiskey character to it. There's a lot of those nice oaky vanilla notes, which I think are going to work really well with that cake, that nice golden cake.
Holy fuck.
I'm not on mic. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it totally does bring out that the barrel. Holy cow. I mean, sorry, Mike, you haven't tried it. I mean, you get a lot of carrot, a lot of mushrooms.
There's some drizzle on this cupcake. What is it? Can you figure it out?
Caramel.
Is it caramel drizzle?
Yeah.
I'm going to just throw this whole thing in.
Do it.
Oh, here we go.
Down the hatch, Mikey.
Oh, my God, that's so mapley. It's one of the things, there's nothing more attractive than listening to somebody with a full mouth talk in your ear really close, especially if you've got your earbuds in. You're going to love this.
There's a whole different ASMR going on.
But holy shit.
Yeah, holy shit.
There's it's almost a breakfast component.
There's
it's probably from the maple, but a nice, homey bowl of cereal. Aspect of this, if you can imagine drinking a nice big bourbon barrel or whiskey barrel malty beer with a bowl of cereal, but there's something that's really comforting about it. This is like the epitome of a comfort pairing, at least in my mind.
It's a great time for the year for this as well, Libby. I think you nailed that. I think I want a fire in front of me right now. Comfort, like you're saying, Mikey. I feel like kind of the same realm as that breakfast beer. I feel like it's almost flapjacks, and with maple syrup flapjacks. I think it's awesome, and it's damn it, Diaz.
I know. Yeah.
An excellent comfort pairing. I mean, I think that's as nice as you can. If there's a way to do have a nice barrel aged brunch pairing, I would say at 11 o'clock on a Sunday. This would be wonderful.
Yeah, and I wouldn't think, because, you know, sometimes those higher beers, the bigger beers, barrel-aged beers are kind of intimidating. They kind of come off as, oh, shit, it's a sipping beer or a sharing beer. And with the cupcake, I brought it to the attention, like, it kind of toned down that hotness, that intense flavor of the cup or the beer, right?
Yeah.
And I forgot this was the 10% beer.
Can you see that little piece of cupcake with just a little sliver of bacon on it?
Little salty meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not bad at all.
Your pepperoni? Your breakfast pepperoni?
Breakfast pepperoni? Yeah.
Do not mock breakfast pepperoni. It's brilliant.
Next one. What is the next
one? All right. Last step. We've got our Hogshead 2021 Reserve.
I think the last time I had this was before COVID.
It is a barrel-aged version of their Sweet Dreams Imperial Porter. It is black as my soul.
That's pretty brown there, Libby.
I wasn't going to go there, but thank you. Imperial Stout. This was a porter. This is their Imperial Porter, not
imperial
a stout, right?
Porter, yes.
So it's a little more fortified. It's probably got a lot of crazy whiskey notes in it.
That's all you, bud.
And what cupcake do we pair with this, Libby?
This is a dark chocolate bourbon cupcake.
Do you know what bourbon she put in it by chance?
I don't. Is there one that she normally favors?
I mean, I know she does a Sugar House bourbon.
That's what my first guess would have
been,
too.
But I'm assuming that. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
There are a lot of great bourbons in this market, but I got to say, Sugar House kills.
Sugar House.
In there.
So good. We did unfortunately lose our head brewer to Sugar House. He's now their head distiller.
Jerk.
But I have a ton of their products. James over there was nice enough to invite us all over for a few tours and tastings. And
oh, sweet.
I was sold on so much. But that single malt might be one of my favorite things in the world, too.
James and his crew are doing great things. Yeah.
I've had... I'm not going to call him out, but he's been generous at his home with experimental things that are happening. I'm not saying he's given me anything that is not ready for public consumption, but his experimental wing has found its way into my palate, and it's crazy what he's coming up with. And if this is some of what is happening there, this is going to be a brilliant pairing.
Damn it, I got chocolate in my white pants.
Oh, no.
Sorry. The smell, this is this chocolate-forward smelling beer.
When they say no white after Labor Day, how late does Labor Day go?
Do I look like I even know? Fashion rules, one. And I don't function with time, man. I just exist in the brewery.
What do you think?
Well, I'll decide.
So no white pants till May?
Yeah.
Okay. Shit.
Girl, I wanted to look good today. No, this is a good smelling beer, though. I really like the nose.
So, this is a 9%.
Jesus, Libby.
It's got... Why'd you have to go 9%?
Because the 10.6 was taken.
That's a good one. I get a lot of coffee on that, like the roast.
Yeah,
I get
very
roast character,
roasty.
On the palate. I'm very excited to try this. I might Mikey it and just shove the cupcake in my mouth.
Cupcake shots.
There are worse things you could do. I mean, these are bite-sized for sure. But, and I'm sure that's exactly how DI has designed them. They're pop and gone. This is... I'm just getting into the...
The beer.
And Nine percent. It's not very hot. You definitely get a smack of that alcohol. But for the most part, a lot of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's the malts are nice and round. What are you getting off these? I haven't had the cupcake yet. Are you guys pulling anything off this cupcake? That is.
It's pretty classic chocolate cake, right? It definitely. I went beer cupcake. Beer, and it amplified the sweetness in that beer so much for me. Kind of muted the roasty, bitter kind of flavors a little bit, and really amped up the sugary sweetness.
When you're and you do a lot of pairings because you have you hold up a lot of events here. When you are looking to pair, like we're doing today, and there's oftentimes that it's not pastries, it's other stuff. What do you look to when you want to pair, say, an American pale? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but like a pale ale with something fun, something that'll draw somebody in.
Again, I'm just very lucky to have a lot of one background in food and beverage. And to be surrounded by a lot of different brains and a lot of different ideas. So for my focus, say, like American Craft Beer Week, right? I'm working on a pairing for that now. I'll go with, like, I narrow it down with local, you know, responsibly produced, my pals, right? Are, like, the three things I look for when I'm looking for a new vendor.
Right.
But then also, you know, it's got to sell for me. You know, half the reason I do this is to get people in my door and remind them that this tap room is here after, you know, the last three years that we've had. So I look for something that's approachable to all palates, training, or none. You know, if you just want to come in and enjoy some delicious items, that would have been today for somebody too. But then after that, it would be just kind of breaking down those tasting notes you would get from a pale ale and maybe pulling one out and saying, like, I want to highlight that.
Yeah, amplify
just,
that one.
Yep, uh-huh. And just kind of pick something that would go along the lines with that. And now all I can think about is a nice hoppy pale ale and some prosciutto.
Right? Because one pairing will probably pull you to another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a rabbit hole I love getting mm-hmm. into when it comes to pairing, honestly. But that cupcake, Mikey, I'm going to see what this, because you got the beer in your mouth. You're putting the cupcake in there. And try to find the flavors of that cupcake. Because there's one issue with the cupcake I had. I couldn't find something that I was looking for. There's Mikey, full mouth Mikey, on the mic.
Yeah, I ate the whole cupcake in one. Dark roast. I'm so sorry.
This is hilarious.
Dark roast. Some coffee grounds. Thank you very much. Thank you. Some light roast coffee grounds. There's an almost like a little bit of butterscotch as well.
Mm.
And I don't know how much of that, because I took a swig of the beer before I had the cupcake. But it's, I'm glad it's a porter, not a stout in this beer.
Yeah.
Because I think the stout would get lost. And the porter is much more fortified, so much more caramely. And I think it really fights off the sweeter elements of the cupcake. But it's the alcohol that, when I take a sip, is more, it is finishing.
Yeah.
It is, it kind of wipes the slate clean from the sweetness of the cupcake. And that 9% alcohol, I think it really kind of rounds it out.
Yeah, I think
and that's where it brings it home.
A lot of these cupcakes and the beer pairings, Libby, they kind of balance everything out. You have something that's really artistic and artisanal, like Diaz's cupcakes, and they're on their own awesome. Beers the same way. Really good beers, awesome things. But when you pair them together, it just balances it all together. And I like this. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Beer analysis is a fun part of my life. And I really like to be able to dissect and ruin everybody's day while I talk about it. I feel like I'm talking to myself when I'm spewing my thesaurus of beer words out there. But I really have a good time talking about it. And if you're ever thinking about trying pairings, these are really fun ways of getting to enjoying life more, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
When your palate gets a chance to just go crazy and explore, there's no wrong solution to whatever's happening. I think if you're trying something, I think you're doing a great job.
Yeah, I like that. I like that analysis right there.
Yeah, I think when you're training your palate, I'm 3 years into like serious beer studies, and I still think I'm very green, especially listening to the beautiful poetry coming out of Mikey right now.
You're cut off, by the way.
Oh, okay.
You've had too much.
and it's this taste everything sort of philosophy, and that doesn't mean just consume. It literally is like thoughtfully tasting things. It's actively tasting. It's not just trying everything once and being like, cool, all right, well, I've had that before. It's thoughtfully tasting everything.
And it should be like that through every aspect mm-hmm. of your life.
How much joy does it bring all of us to do that all the time?
You get a piece of pizza and you got a Coke. Like, does it work? Is there a better beverage that could go with this?
I can eat five right now. No, but you're right. I think opening your palate, opening your knowledge of things in general, right?
Yeah.
And I like that lately I've been trying to work on I drink to taste, not drink the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do this right here, it blows your mind. And you can come back like, that was an experience. Yeah. We just had an experience.
Yeah.
That's it.
It changes beautiful. Just your appreciation of everything around you.
And Libby,
you
set this up. So thank you for this being your brainchild and making this happen.
Absolutely. And this has been far and beyond what I thought it was going
to
be.
If this is what it's like to live in your brain, this is awesome.
Chocolate and beer kind of does sum it up a little bit, yeah.
Well, like I said, you helped bring a community together. You're bringing people, you're bringing spotlights to breweries and an awesome baker in the industry. I think what you had set up with Diaz, and thanks for having us here, Taste Masters. This is really cool, Libby. Don't stop being creative like this. and this is cool. You can do this. We can do this with wine. We can do it with sodas. We can do it with kombuchas. We can do it with, you know, taproot soda would be really cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's all these things that are going on because we can have the same cupcakes with different beverages and still be able to pair them. We can have the same beers and different food, what have you. It's still great. Like I like the sushi idea. Other ideas for the beers. I mean, this continues. Yeah.
Yeah. Libby is an integral part of Utah's beer community.
Yes, you are.
You should come here to the Westside Tavern.
My goodness.
Over here and talk to her. She's here all the time. we're doing this on a Saturday on her day off. She's here, and she's been here all day. And she will probably be in here whenever you show up. And you talk to her, and she will take care of you, and you will be all the better for it, I promise.
Absolutely. Amen.
That means so much coming from you. Thank you so much.
Well, Libby, you are a huge part of this community. I truly do believe you belong on the Mount Rushmore of awesome people in the brewing scene, or in the fermentation scene, honestly. So keep doing what you're doing, because you're just barely grasping what you can start doing. And I like the position you're in, and Pink Boots, I like what you're doing here. And you're drawing crowds. You're bringing a spotlight to your friends. And congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you so much for the beautiful sentiments. Both of you for the amount I've learned from you, not just about beer, but about how to be good to the people around me. So thank you both for that.
Yeah. Cheers to you.
Cheers to you, Libby. And I want to say one more thing before we end. Mikey, thanks for stepping in, helping out. I appreciate it. I love it when we get together. We have a good time every time.
I love you, Dave. Love you.
And Libby, I can't say enough about you. Keep doing what you're doing, girl. Thank you.
You too.
And on that note, my friend, until the next pairing, my friends.
Cheers.
Cheers. This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram @_Tastemasters, Twitter @TheTastemasters, or on Facebook @TheTastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Produced and recorded @Fuse Audio. Give them a follow @Fuse_Audio.